Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Joanna, and I am really just thrilled, beyond thrilled, really, that you're here for the Sacred Depth Coach Certification with me. I've been waiting for you and for this day and for the start of our training for quite a while. And I'm just so excited, and I hope that you are too. First and foremost, one of the biggest reasons that I'm excited is because the people who've raised their hands to be in this room are basically awesome. I'm honestly so truly honored to be here with you and to guide you, and I'm so excited for this incredible community to come together and to get to know one another and support each other. Next, I'm also excited because together we're all about to step onto a sacred and very important and very vital journey. It's the journey of mastering the art, and truly it's an art, it's not a methodology. So this is a journey of mastering the art of going deep with our clients so that we can co-create with them not only incredible results, but also life-changing inner shifts and true long-lasting growth and transformation. Whether you're going to use the skills and the tools and the techniques that you learn in this training for your coaching practice or your acupuncture practice, your massage therapy practice, your therapy practice, etc., whatever it is, you're going to emerge from our time together highly skilled to navigate pretty much anything that your clients toss your way, whether they're conscious of it or not. You're going to be skilled to navigate their fears, their resistances, their shadows, their sabotage mechanisms, their stalling mechanisms, their lack of clarity, their victimhood, their reasons why they can't, and any other obstacles. By the time that we're complete, you'll no longer see even the toughest client fears and obstacles and stuck places as things to fear or to stay away from or to be nervous about or to doubt yourself on. Instead, you'll actually look forward to those things coming up for your clients, and I'm going to guess that you will even have a bring it on attitude about all of it, because you're going to know how to move them through it, and because you'll know what's waiting for them on the other side of all of this self-sabotage and shadow and resistance and fear. What's waiting for them, if you navigate it correctly, is more satisfaction, more freedom, and greater ability for them to create what they want. By the time that we're complete with this certification, you'll have gained tools and skills and wisdom and practices that will set you apart from 99% of the other coaches and healers and teachers and transformational practitioners out there. You're going to understand client behavior in ways that you never thought possible, and that understanding is going to allow you to coach them with incredible success. You'll have the confidence to stand fully behind the marketing promises that you make, because you'll literally own inside of you exactly what you need to co-create real and big change with your clients. Your clients will feel incredibly connected to you and in gratitude for you. You'll see that clients, if you choose, will stay with you longer than what's standard in the industry. And you'll also very likely see that you receive more referrals and that your reputation grows more easily than others. It's truly just magical what graduates of this training have been able to create, both in terms of their work with clients as well as in their businesses. And I'm so excited to share all of this with you too. So that's the core of why I'm excited, for you to be able to have all of this. And quite honestly, it's also because, as you probably know by now, if you know a little bit about me, that my personal mission is to raise the standard of quality in the transformational industry. This is an industry that I love so much, so much, and I owe so much to it, and I have so much gratitude to it. And all that being said, with so many people becoming coaches and guides so quickly these days, there's also been some surface trends in the transformational industry over the last few years. It has become kind of fluffy in some ways. This training is not about fluff. If you're here, you're someone who already goes deep. I know that, or else you would have run very far away from this training, and we're going to go even deeper, and I'm so excited to do that. And as if all of that weren't enough, there are some kind of even extra benefits that I really hope you'll receive from participating in this training. First of all, it's my intention that through our work together, you're going to come to know and understand yourself, your fears, your habits, your patterns, your energy sourcing, your desires, your obstacles, even better than you already do right now. And I recognize that most of you right now know all of this about yourself pretty well. It's just who you are, or else you wouldn't be here. You'll notice a lot of your own personal growth as we journey through all of this together, and a lot of deep shifting. And then beyond that, everything that you learn in this training will make you a better team leader, a better friend, better partner. If you're a parent, a better parent. Without even realizing it, or maybe very consciously, you'll see that you'll begin to use the tools that we learn when you communicate not only with your clients, but with all of the other people in your business and in your life. Because really, at its core, coaching is about being the most effective and transformation-providing communicator that you can be. And you'll also see that if you've been struggling with your sales calls or simply just wanting to improve them or get to the next level with them, that's the other thing that this training will do for you. This training is going to 100% support you to have incredible enrollment conversations. Because at the end of the day, the better you are in your coaching, the better you are at holding space, at reflecting, at listening, at asking incredible questions, at building vision, at knowing how to hold your prospects' hands through their resistance, through their shadows, through their fears, well, then the more successful your sales calls are going to be. So there's so much here that I hope you're looking forward to, and I am too. There's so much here to delight in, to sink your teeth into. And again, I'm just so glad that you're here. I want to spend a couple of minutes on just talking about what the training looks like and how to get the most out of it. We'll spend just a few minutes on this, and then we'll dive into the core of today's call, which is part one of the energetics of the coaching relationship. But I always feel like it's important to just kind of lay out the training for you so that you know going in how to best use everything here. So here's the first thing that I want you to know. If you know me or have been in a program with me before, you already know this. But if you're new to working with me, I really want you to know this. I am totally 110% here for you. I'm not a hands-off type teacher or coach. If you're here, I want to know you, and I want to support you as much as you'll let me and as much as is right for you. I want to hear your voice and not only have you hear mine. There's so much support available to you throughout this program in so many ways. But to get it, you have to take me up on it. You'll get exactly what you need if you show up and do the work. And, you know, I used to say to everyone, ask a lot of questions, participate a lot in all the ways. But, you know, what I've seen through the years is that for some of you, what you need is to ask a lot of questions, to show up a lot, you know, all of that. There are other people that have gone through this program and they've just listened in and they've gotten what they need. So I'm not going to pretend to know what you need, but what I want to ask you is to know what you need and to really get it. I want you to walk out of this space being a coaching master, and I very carefully designed the program to help you do so in so many ways, but what I want from you is for you to show up for it. Here's the next thing that I just want to be honest about. There's a lot here, and it's going to feel maybe a little bit intense at times. Now, when I say that there's a lot and when I say that it'll feel intense, I don't mean that there's a ton of work. I'm not into overloading you with work or me with work. We're going to get a lot of the work done on our calls together. But what I do mean is that you asked for sacred depths, you asked for deep, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going deep, and going deep will require a lot of you. It requires you to do your own inner work, which I'll be leading you through. And it requires you to put effort to going deep with clients. I'll show you how to do that. So, you know, just who I am personally, I can't do surface. I don't even know how to do surface, not in my work, not with my friends or family, not even at social events. I'm like such a dork at social events because I just don't know how to make small talk. It's very hard for me. So it has to be deep. This is what we're doing. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about the different components of the program so that you know exactly how to use them. First and most important and most core and central component are our training calls. Our training calls are filled with just total juiciness and so much gold. They're filled with a ton of techniques and coaching tools and just a lot of teaching on human behavior and a lot of opportunity for personal inquiry for you. If you haven't yet had a look at the syllabus for the training, probably you have, but if you haven't, I highly recommend taking a look at the syllabus. It will get you so excited for the training calls. Our training calls are 90 minutes, except for today's call. I gave us 2 hours, you know, just in case we needed a little extra. I find this for the first call, sometimes we just need a little extra time. In those 90 minutes, I'm going to be always teaching a lot of content, but you'll see that it's also very interactive. And there will always be time at the end for Q&A. Like I said earlier, I want to get all of your questions answered. There's a lot of time and space for that. And I'm also known to add extra Q&A calls and sometimes even extra content calls if I feel that you need them or want them. So I'm always kind of tracking what's happening with you and really keeping a finger on the pulse of what you need, and I'll add something if I feel like you need it. If you can make the training calls live, awesome. It's always just great to make as many calls as you can live. But if you can't, don't worry about it. I have had individuals go through this entire training not listening to a thing, coming to a single call live because they've been, you know, living in Australia or New Zealand, or they just couldn't for whatever reason, and they have received so much and have gotten certified and have gotten exactly what they needed. The next component of the program to know about is that not every week, but most weeks, I'll be sharing worksheets or resource sheets with you. The purpose of the worksheets or the resource sheets are to go deeper with either the inner work that we're doing in the training calls, or to go deeper with the tools and the practices and the concepts that you're learning. They should never, they're never going to take more than 30 to 60 minutes each, I promise you. And almost all of them will be ready day of, you know, we'll like do the call and then they'll be added to the member center. But every now and again, there may be a delay by a day or two. And the reason for that is, again, because I'm constantly tracking you. So we've got all of the worksheets ready to go. But if something comes up in a call, you know, somebody shares something that, you know, strikes me as important, or I feel like we want to go deeper in, I may add that to the worksheet. So it just might take an extra day or two. But sometimes it's even better to wait a day or two after the call before moving through a worksheet, because it'll kind of give you time to marinate in all of the new information that you're learning and then do the worksheet around it. We do also have a couple of practicum calls in the certification, and I'm so excited about these. I love these. These are always favorite calls from participants. On the practicum calls, it's essentially your opportunity to practice the skills that we're learning and to receive feedback from me on it. It's so valuable to have that space to practice in front of everyone, to receive the feedback, and it's always in a very loving way. And it's also so valuable to hear other people practice too. You can just learn so much from it. Now, in addition to those group practicums, there's the option to have a practice partner. The practice partner is only required if you're going for the certification, but I really highly suggest having a partner in the program. As far as I'm concerned, practice is a really big component of coaching mastery, and that's really the purpose of your coaching partner, is to go deeper with all of the skills and tools and techniques that you're learning on these calls, to have a space with someone who is learning the same coaching language as you, who's learning the same concepts as you, the same tools, to have that space with that person to practice and then to discuss what you did and how it went. It's really invaluable. I'll be giving specific assignments after each class based on the new skills and tools that we learn. So I'll give specific instructions for your partner call for that week. And, you know, I'll be sending out instructions on exactly how to conduct those calls. There's a very particular format that will help you be really successful. They're 60 minutes long. You can schedule them with your partner anytime that works for you. It's not every week. It's just every week that we have a training call. And my team will match you up with a partner so that you don't have to stress about it so much. So I think today, if not today, tomorrow, but I'm pretty sure today, we'll be sending out an email that asks if you would like a partner. You read through it. If you want one, you'll click on it, and it'll take you to a very short questionnaire, just like 3 or 4 questions. That's basically about your schedule, so that we can do as good a job as possible with matching you up with somebody in your time zone, with somebody that has similar availability so that it's easier to schedule those calls together. And then just let me know. I forget what the deadline is, but I believe the deadline, because we have Thanksgiving here in the U.S., it's a holiday week. I think I pushed it out to, like, next Monday. So you have a week to decide if you want a partner. But, again, if you're going for certification, then that's required. Here's just the last piece that I'll share for now about the coaching partners. By and large, what I've seen is that the partnerships are amazing. The partner buddying is just, some people are just, it's like their favorite component of the program. But we have had in the past a couple of partnerships that didn't work out. And it's because one of the buddies kind of didn't take the commitment seriously. You know, they would cancel calls at the last minute or, you know, whatever it was. And, of course, you know, that caused a little, I don't want to say problems, but, you know, like, just it took some work to repartner people up and all of that. So what I just say is, you know, I really want you to sign up to have a partner. I don't want this to deter you from it at all. It's so valuable. But take the commitment seriously, because when you commit, it's not just about you. Then it becomes about your partner as well. All right, a couple of other components I just want to share with you. We've got a Facebook group that will start up probably today or tomorrow. I'm on the Facebook group every day that I'm in the office, and you know, sometimes on the weekends as well. I put a lot of love and energy into the Facebook group for this training in particular. I will add extra bonus resources there, extra little tidbits, just, you know, whatever it is. It's an opportunity for you to connect with other people in the training, for you to share what's coming up for you to share homework, for you to exchange resources, for you to ask me questions, and for me to also check in on you. Like I said, I'm really involved. I like to track you and your progress and what's happening for you, and I'll use the Facebook group a lot in that way. If we are already connected on Facebook, my team will just automatically add you to the Facebook group so that you don't have to worry about it. And if we're not already friends on Facebook or connected, let's make sure that we do get connected, but you'll get an invite to come in there because we can't add you automatically. Hopefully you've taken a look at the membership site for the training. That's where all of the recordings will be, all of the bonuses will be there, the whole schedule for the entire program. So, you know, definitely just check that out, the whole membership site. All of the bonuses, not all of the bonuses are there yet. I like to put them piecemeal so that you don't feel overwhelmed. But we have incredible bonuses in this program. You know, for some of you, they may not be appropriate. And then for others of you, they will be. You know, peruse through them, pick and choose what you know, what you really need, all of the business building bonuses, you know, all of that. There are just a couple of live calls that haven't been scheduled out yet, and that's the ones with our bonus teachers, but that should happen in the next week, and we'll let you know as soon as that does. Okay, just a couple other logistics. For level two, if you're in level two of this program, I just want to let you know about the coaching clinics. I'll send you a whole information sheet about the coaching clinics, but I love, the clinics are awesome. It's basically your monthly opportunity to bring to me any of your client case studies, any obstacles that are happening with clients, any places where you're not sure where to go, inner pieces, outer pieces, and we just really look deeply at what's happening in those case studies, and I'll give you instruction on how to move forward with those clients. They're just great, great learning calls. And then the other components for level two are our shadow retreat, which is coming up in March. You'll get tons of, you know, information about that. And we've also got our virtual full day workshop later on in the program about the seven different types of visualizations that you can create on the spot for clients. So all of that's in there. We still have a couple of spots open in level two. So if you're in level one and you had really wanted level two and you feel like you want to upgrade, you can just let us know, and that's there for you. I'm not going to talk about certification requirements today because I know I've already given you a lot of logistical information. In over the next couple, probably in a couple of calls, once we're settled in, I'll just take a few minutes and talk about certification. You don't have to worry about it right now. The most important thing is just the buddy piece in it, the coaching partner piece in it. All right, let me pause here for a moment. Does anybody have any questions on any of these logistical pieces that you need to ask before we move forward? Star two. I think I laid it out pretty well, but there may be a couple of questions. No? Okay. Okay, great. So there's one last piece before we move into the energetics of the coaching relationship. And I want to just talk briefly, what it is I want to talk briefly about resistance. So in a few short months, you will have learned a cartload and more about client resistance, about how it shows up, about how to handle it. You will know all of the ins and outs and have so many tools around client resistance. It's going to be like a super magical power that you feel like you have that creates so much more ease in your coaching sessions. And the reason why I spend a lot of time looking at resistance in this training is because when someone is ready to grow, as hopefully all your clients are, there is a really high chance that even though they really want to grow and they're really ready to grow, that their ego is also going to resist the growth a little bit, no matter how much they desire the growth. And that's because where there's a growth opportunity, there's also often some fear, so just human nature. And when there's fear, there's usually resistance. So we're going to learn all about that, but for today, here's what I want you to know. Sometimes, as coaches and healing practitioners who are working with our client resistances, we can often overlook our own resistance. And I mention it at the beginning of the program because I just want to briefly look at the fact that for as excited and ready as I'm sure you are to step into our Sacred Depths journey, that you may also have some resistance. And that's just because, as I said earlier, fear is part of the growth process, and resistance is a product of fear. So I want to, you know, it's always great to just kind of call it out at the beginning of a journey like this and just kind of help you be aware of it for yourself and just give you a few tools. So here's what I'd like for you to do. Just answer this question for yourself. You can journal on this for a moment. Why are you here? If there was a higher or sacred purpose for you being in this training, what is it? And just take a moment to jot that down. Why are you really here? And the next question, what is it that you really, really want from this experience? Really name it for yourself. Clarify it for yourself right now. What is it that you really want from this experience. And the next question, you may have already answered this from the first two, but it's just a little bit of a maybe different way of getting into it. I want you to really think about this one. If you were here to really stretch yourself in some way on the inner level or the outer level, get really specific. Where are the places that you really desire to stretch yourself in your coaching, inner and outer? If you're here to stretch yourself, where are those places that you're really wanting to be stretched? Where are you wanting to really be on that edge? It might be more than one place. Just list the different places. So hopefully from the questions that I just asked you, not only are you seeing why you're really here, why you've made this, I think, really sacred and profound decision to be in this training, but hopefully through some of your answers, you're also seeing where you really want to grow. And like I said, for human beings, when there's a desire to grow or an opportunity to grow, there's also likely some fear, which means there's also likely resistance. And the resistance can show up in a training like this, can show up for you in lots of different ways. And I want to just share with you some of the most common ways that it might show up so that you can recognize it for yourself, call yourself out on it a little bit. So first of all, it can show up, first we'll look at inner, kind of like the thoughts, and here's some thoughts that you might have in your head, either now or as we move forward, that are kind of classic resistance thoughts. So what was I thinking? I really do want this, but I shouldn't have made the investment. It was too expensive for me. Or am I really going to have time for this? Or this sounds awesome, but maybe I don't really need this. Or maybe you've got the thought in your head of, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into? This is too advanced for me, or too deep. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe the resistance shows up as, I'm way more advanced than this. This is too simple for me. Or another thought you might have in your head is like, well, what if this works for everyone, but it doesn't really work for me? Maybe I just shouldn't be here. It's not going to work for me. Or maybe the resistance is, oh, I really was hoping she was going to have Zoom calls and be on video. I don't really want to be on voice calls. Or maybe the resistance thoughts in your head are showing up as being judgmental, right? Being judgmental of me, for example. Or maybe it's the kind of thing where if you miss a call, you say, oh, I missed a call, or I've gotten behind on the calls, and so I'm taking myself out of this experience. It's too, right? Like, it's not happening, right? So those are some common sort of thoughts that can run through your head that are symptoms of resistance, of fear. And then some of the actions, or we can even call them non-actions, that are resistance-based are not showing up for calls or listening to recordings, not doing the homework, starting off really strong, participating, and then tapering off, right? Any of those things. So take a moment and just note for yourself, what's your brand? I'm calling it your brand of resistance, right? What's your brand of resistance right now? Or what do you anticipate might come up for you as a resistance thought or a resistance action? You know yourself well, right? So you probably can anticipate this. Just name it. Be honest with yourself. Be aware of it. How are you likely, what's your resistance likely to look like or sound like? And then next question, and I'm going to invite you to journal on this one for a moment. The answer may or may not be apparent to you right away, but if you just keep on writing, hopefully something will come through. What's your resistance? Or, you know, if it's you anticipate it, like when you have resistance in a program like this or for this program, what's the resistance really about? What's it really about? What's the belief or the fear that's behind the resistance? So in other words, when you tune in to what you wrote down earlier, you know, the why that you're here, for as excited as you are about it, what's also the fear in it? So just take a moment, journal on that, I'll give you a minute. What's the resistance really about? What's the fear really about? Or the beliefs really about? Let's take another moment with that. And so next, considering whatever might have come up for you as you looked at the resistance, what's the belief that you actually want to commit to for this program, for this training? What is a belief that you know would be really beneficial for you to come back to, either about yourself or your work, whatever it is, related to your resistance? What's a belief that you really want to commit to here? And then finally, what is it that you want to commit to action-wise for this training, right? So maybe for you, you know that you tend to be distracted on calls and, you know, doing social media while you're listening, you know, so maybe your commitment is to be fully present or do all of the homework, or, you know, whatever it is for you. So we looked at a belief that you want to commit to. What's an action or actions that you really want to commit to for yourself, right? Like a sacred promise to you so that you can really get exactly what you want from this experience. Maybe it's about asking questions, participating, or whatever it is for you. What do you want to commit to for yourself? Okay, so let's pause here for a few moments before we dive into the energetics of being a coach. I'd love to hear a couple of shares on just what you're seeing as we're lightly looking at resistance as we step into the training. What's important for you, or what are you committing to? What are you seeing? Star 2. you know, it's our first call, and you might be shy, but I'd love to hear from a couple of you. Star two. Who wants to be brave and share? At least so that I know that you guys are with me with all of this. Here we go. Sophia.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi. You asked a few questions, but which one did you want a volunteer answer for?
Anything. Like, what's the most important thing that you're seeing through the exploration of resistance?
So for me, every time I invest in a program, it's like I have the exact same a fear, and it's that I'm afraid that it won't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so what I put down as the belief that I really want to commit to is that I will do my best to get everything I can out of the program that I invest in. So I will go above and beyond in my own actions to learn as much as possible. Like, that's what I put down.
I love it. So
yeah.
That's a good way to start off and to commit in that way to yourself. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Justine.
Hi.
Hi.
For me, at the heart of the resistance is that I'm not enough. I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so the actions that, you know, the belief is that I am enough and that this is my next level to truly living into my purpose of empowering women and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm committing to is, one is following through with every assignment and unspoken agreement in this program. And the second one is being vulnerable for the sake of learning and fully grasping the teachings.
Yeah, I love it. What I'm really hearing and what you're sharing is that while, you know, you may have the tendency, like we all do, to go into resistance, and for you it's around the I'm not good enough, what you're really going to do differently here is to not only remember that you are good enough, but it almost feels like you're dedicating this to all of the mothers and daughters and women that you're going to help with all of the tools. And it almost feels like that dedication is part of the motivation here.
Yes, definitely.
Beautiful. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'd love to hear from one more person. There's one more person willing to share. Star two, oh, beautiful, Kara.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So my fear is that I won't grow and continue spinning my wheels. I've had this feeling that I've been spinning my wheels with this work for the last year or so, and I've also had a child.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're saying that, right? Because having a child is a joke as you're building.
Yeah.
Takes time.
Yes. And my belief is that I can grow exponentially this year, personally and professionally. I feel like I finally have the space and the support and the schedule to really dive in and own my my work. And so my commitment is to attend calls in person as much as I can. And I'll just say attend calls in person and take out the as much as I can, but understanding that I do a few times I can. And then, I haven't sort of mapped this out yet, but sort of this idea of physically showing up for these calls and physically showing up in the world and, you know, getting out there with workshops and whatnot is a big goal of mine. So I've been about,
I love that, because
physically out there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and what I love about that is I think it relates back to this belief around exponential growth, right? Because if you continue to really cultivate this belief, if you believed it fully, of course you'd be doing more outreach. Of course you'd be showing up to do workshops. Of course you'd be more on your edge in your client work, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, well, I see a couple more hands shot up. I'm going to continue on to get into the real purpose of today's call. Well, I shouldn't say the real purpose. Everything we've done so far is, but I want to start looking at the energetics of being a coach, but we'll definitely have more time for more sharing and Q&A and all of that. So let's go for it. So before we dive into all of the skills that you need as a coach, all the skills like listening, questioning, creating awareness, acknowledging you, all of that, and for sure before we get to all of the even more advanced material, it's really important to cultivate or continue cultivating what I like to call the powerful energetics of being a coach. And over the course of our time together, we're going to be weaving this thread of energetics through every single thing that we look at. It's just so important. We have two specific training calls about the energetics today, and then one a couple months from now, as we look at the advanced tools. But it's really, we're going to weave this throughout. And it's important that we start here. The energetics are a simple and a basic place to start. So much of it is not rocket science at all when it comes to the energetics. But just because it's simple and basic, I don't want you to underestimate its power. And also the power of exploring energetics more deeply if you already have great pieces in place around it. Okay, so what are the powerful energetics of being a coach? Well, the energetics are literally the foundation of all of your coaching, mentoring, teaching, consulting, advising, and healing. Powerful energetics are about you as the practitioner setting the stage to have the most transformative and successful client relationships possible. The energetics are about you as the practitioner truly understanding that a strong relationship with your client is the basis of everything that you do together. Because if your relationship isn't strong, it doesn't matter how amazing your questioning skills are, your strategizing skills, they're all going to fall flat. And here's the other thing. If your relationship is strong, if the energetics in your relationships with your clients are powerful, then you can make a mistake, as you inevitably will at some point, but it's not going to matter. You'll be able to recover from it because the energetics will be that strong and the relationship will be that strong. So whatever your expertise is, whether it's helping your clients market or whether it's helping them become healthier or helping them find a romantic relationship or move forward in a new career, whatever it is, no matter how smart and effective the nuts and bolts information that you have to share is, all of the nuts and bolts or how-to information that you have, no matter how smart and effective it is, on its own, it can't ultimately help people transform themselves and their lives and achieve their goals. All of the content and the how-to and the nuts and bolts are so important and so useful and so wonderful. But that's not what changes people. That's not what transforms people fully, at least not in the way that you think it does. What changes your clients is the relationship. We can call it the container that you deliver your how-tos in. What changes your clients is the energy and the presence that you bring to the container, to the relationship. Your energy and how you direct energy in coaching sessions is bar none. How you show up and how you and your client relate to each other is at the heart of all of it. That's what creates the change for your clients. And then your amazing content, as well as all of the coaching techniques in your tool chest, then all of that work to support all that's being shifted and that's being transformed and that's being healed through your presence, through your energy. And energy follows energy. So when you aren't embodying the energetics of a transformational coach or a sacred depth coach, your client will literally feel it. It doesn't matter how well you know your expertise or how good your coaching questions are, something is going to be off. It will be harder for your clients to maybe really take in the information that you're sharing, or it'll be harder for them to execute the strategy or the action steps. Or maybe it will be harder for your clients to trust you or themselves or the work that you're doing together. Maybe it'll be harder for them to feel motivated or to stay motivated, or just tougher for them to work through the inevitable obstacles that come up through any growth process or goal-reaching journey. So energy follows energy. I'm going to keep on coming back to that on today's call. It's so important. If you as the practitioner come to the coaching relationship with confidence in yourself, then your client is going to have confidence in you. Energy follows energy. If you come to the coaching relationship with confidence that your client can succeed, that he or she has it in her to succeed, then she'll have more confidence to be able to succeed. Energy follows energy. If you come to the relationship with unconditional love and acceptance for your client's imperfections, then she will be able to have more love and more acceptance of her imperfections. If you come to the relationship not freaking out when there are obstacles, but instead trusting that obstacles can be worked through, well, energy follows energy. Your client will then be more patient when her obstacles show up, and she'll trust more that she can get through it with your support, right? And for any of you on this call that have ever been around little children, you know exactly what I'm talking about with the energy follows energy, right? It's like something can happen, kid can fall or, something, whatever, an obstacle can come up. How we as the adult show up to meet the obstacle usually will dictate a lot of how the child responds, whether the child freaks out or not, or gets excited or doesn't get excited, or, whatever it is. So all of this is why we're starting with the energetics, with how to create a powerful coaching relationship. We're starting here first before we go to any of the other coaching skills or tools. We don't want to overlook this piece because, again, if you don't get the energetics, then none of the rest of it really matters. This foundation is vital because it allows you to honestly look at and course correct any of your own misaligned inner dynamics or fears or perspectives or limiting beliefs that are going on for you within the coaching container with your clients. Working on those inner dynamics inside of yourself helps you to be more clean, more grounded, and much more in your zone of genius and leadership with your clients. Now, when you've got the energetics in place, you'll discover that your relationships with your clients will contain what I like to call the 7 most important dynamics that you need for a successful client relationship. I'm going to just name these 7 dynamics for you right now. They don't really need much explanation, and I'm sure none of them are going to come as a surprise to you, but it's really good to be conscious of these and reminded of these. So these are the 7 things that I'm always looking for to have in my client containers, my client relationships. First of all, mutual trust. I trust them, they trust me. 2nd, mutual respect. Respect and trust are a little bit different, right? I respect them, and they respect me. Next thing, that it's truly a partnership, that it's not one-sided, but that I really see myself as partnering with my clients. And I think my clients really see that as well with me. When you've got all of the powerful energetics in place, then the 4th dynamic that can happen in the client relationship is that there's a ton of room for productive creativity. And what I mean by that is that new ideas are emerging. It's not just that there are canned answers, but there are real creative solutions and pathways that are being created. The 5th thing is clear and honest communication, right? Which sounds easy, but oftentimes can be a little tricky if the energetics aren't there. The 6th thing that naturally happens when the energetics are in place is that you as the practitioner believe in your client's vision and in the highest possible outcome for your client. So important. If you ever catch yourself not fully believing in your client's vision or in the highest possible outcome for her, then it means there's something wrong, a little off in the energetics. And then the 7th dynamic of this powerful client relationship is healthy boundaries. We're going to be looking at that a lot later on in the program. Okay, so now that we've kind of generally defined what the powerful energetics of being a coach are, and these 7 dynamics of the powerful coaching relationship, then the next question is, so how do you actually create or achieve all of this? What do you need to do to make all this happen? Well, there are a few tools that are really good to have in place to make all of this happen. We're going to start looking at these tools today, and then we'll actually continue with them next week as we start our listening module. The first call of our listening module is really about the energetics of listening. Okay, so before I share these tools, here's what I want you to know, in case there'll be any resistance about this. I'll talk about it preemptively. Everything that I'm going to share with you on today's call in particular is in so many ways very obvious. If you're a human being who's interested in helping others and who is self-aware and who knows a little bit about human behavior, and I know that is everybody on this call falls into that category. If you've got these qualities, then so much of what I'm sharing today as soon as I share it, you'll probably say to yourself, oh, of course, right, of course. Even though it might be obvious to you as soon as you hear it from me today, the things that I'm sharing with you today are actually things that most coaches don't consistently or automatically think about or put into place on their own. It's like we know it. Obviously, we know there needs to be mutual trust and mutual respect and belief in the highest vision. It's like we know it, but we don't fully put it into place until we become conscious of it. And then even when we are conscious of it, I still find, you know, I'll just say for myself, like I teach this. I'm a very seasoned practitioner. I know about this. And even then, some of the things I'm going to share with you today, I still need to be on top of it for myself. It's not like I learned it, I knew it, and then it's done. Because these are things, when we talk about the energetics, it's like core to our own energy. And we constantly, or not to say constantly, but, you know, we need to, can, you know, at least every now and again, realign with it, reconfigure with it. All right, so here we go. What are some of the tools in order to create these powerful energetics that I've been talking about? So first thing, equalize the playing field. And I want you to write that down. Equalize the playing field. An equal playing field in the coaching relationship and contact means that you as the coach are approaching the relationship as if you and your client are two equal partners. You see the both of you as wise, as able, as mutually worthy of respect. Now, of course, you and your client both have different roles in the relationship. You have certain information or expertise that they want and need. You have techniques to help hold space for them and bring out their inner wisdom and their creativity. But that being said, there's no person in this relationship that is better than the other. There's no person in this relationship that is more powerful than the other. There's no person in this relationship that has higher status than the other. And again, like I said, I know all of this is obvious and common sense, but it's so easy for us to sometimes lose touch with this. When you have an equal playing field, that's when the trust that I was talking about earlier really gets created. When you have an equal playing field, it's part and parcel of the mutual respect that I was talking about before. When there's an equal playing field, then you've created an environment for a true partnership to happen and for real and honest communication to happen. So all of this sounds like a no-brainer, right? Just equalize the playing field. Make sure you know, that no person in the relationship is better than the other. We're all adults, pretty simple, right? Well, the truth is that many coaches aren't actually approaching their client relationships with a fully and consistently equal playing field, even if they think that they are. If you're not conscious and aware of it, if you don't, like I said before, if you don't actively call yourself out on it and work at it, it's actually pretty easy to fall into the trap of not totally owning your expertise, of not totally owning your brilliance, of not seeing yourself, the practitioner, as smart enough or intuitive enough or anything enough, right? Like insert adjective in there. Again, even for myself, as a very, very seasoned and successful and accomplished coach, I still have to be on top of myself with this. When you're not actively working to equalize the playing field, then you also maybe start seeing your client as more than you, as better than you, or too powerful, or too overpowering, or maybe you get intimidated by your client, or maybe you're scared that your client is going to judge you, or maybe you're worried that your client will get angry at something that you say or that you suggest. All of that can happen when there's not an equal playing field. It's almost as if you almost like forget that your client is another human being, and instead you start seeing them as a cold robot that you have to be careful around. I see this a lot sometimes when people start to have sales calls, same thing, right? And so, you know, it's like you forget that the client is a human being with a heart. And then maybe because of that, because the playing field isn't equal, you back away a little bit from speaking the truths as you see them about a client's patterning. Or maybe you hold back on an idea that you have for them. Or maybe you don't really stand up for a place where it's really time for them to be accountable for themselves. Or most importantly, what happens is that you simply don't bring all of yourself forward and all of it with love to really create a warm and intimate and trusting relationship. So that's one way of not having an equal playing field. You come to the relationship as less than your client. The other way of not having an equal playing field is when you come to the relationship somewhere inside of you believing that your client isn't good enough. Maybe somewhere in there there's just a little assumption inside of you that your client isn't really enough in one way or another, not enough to follow through on their commitments, or maybe not enough to show up fully, or maybe not enough to really achieve their goals. Maybe there's just a little unchecked assumption inside of you that they're not smart enough or insightful enough or open-hearted enough or whatever it is. Now, of course, your clients are going to have challenges and crosses to bear. 100%, absolutely, that's why they've come to you. But that's very different than believing that a client isn't good enough or can't. So in either scenario, either if you're approaching the relationship as less than, or you're assuming that your client in some way is less than, in either of those scenarios, you're setting yourself up for having a very hard time helping in the ways that you want to help your client. Because essentially what you're doing is you're energetically creating a relationship that's in some way or another about fear or shame or lack or misaligned power or miscommunication, instead of creating a relationship that's based on aliveness and openness and an equal meaning of incredible, two incredible minds and hearts. And again, remember, energy follows energy. So if you're approaching the relationship with an unequal playing field, chances are that your client is consciously or not consciously picking up on it and responding, or I should say reacting, in one way or another. Now, here are some clues that the playing field that you've created with your client isn't fully equalized. Number one, if you feel nervous or inadequate, I shouldn't even say nervous, because I often, you know, nervous is totally natural. So, but, you know, that kind of extreme nervousness that's related to inadequacy, if you feel inadequate before, during, or after your client interactions, then chances are the playing field isn't equal. If you're not being totally honest in your communications with your client, if you're not calling them out on things or not making certain suggestions for to them, then probably the field isn't totally equal. If you are focusing a lot more on your own needs, concerns, or fears in your interaction with your clients instead of on your clients themselves, and this could sound like, am I good enough? Will she be happy with the work that we're doing together? What if she doesn't like me, right? Like, if any of the focus is more there than on the client, definitely something needs to be equalized out in the playing field, because it's not about you, it's about your client. If you feel drained by the relationship, it depends on the reason why, but if you feel drained by the client relationship, chances are there's something happening with the playing field that's not totally equal. If you notice that you're pretty consistently concerned that your client isn't going to succeed, chances are something needs to be equalized out in the playing field. And then finally, and I really want to emphasize this last one, because it can be really innocuous or dress up as something other than what it is. It can seem innocuous, and so I really want to point it out. If you have a sense that you as the practitioner are doing way more than you need to, if you're showing up either from a less than place with your clients or an over responsibility place with your clients, if you're taking, in other words, if you're taking over responsibility and doing too much, then I can promise you that your playing field is unequal. And sometimes, and we're going to look at this in depth later on in the training, but I was just going to mention this now. You know, sometimes when we take over responsibility, it can be disguised as, oh, my gosh, I'm doing so much for this client, and I'm so there for her, and, you know, like all this stuff, when really we're actually doing too much. Well, the truth about that is that when we take over responsibility, not only is the playing field unequal, but we're actually doing a disservice not only to ourselves, but to our clients. Okay, so taking all of this into consideration, how do you equalize the playing field? How do you make it equal and continue to make it equal and continue to make it equal? So again, the tools I'm going to share with you are kind of obvious, but still necessary to take a look at. First tool here to equalize the playing field is really knowing and believing that you are whole and complete exactly as you are. And so I want you to write this down. I am whole and complete exactly as I am. I am whole and complete exactly as I am. So what does that mean? It means that, well, of course, there are always places to grow into and to expand. There are always techniques to add to our repertoire and, you know, all new learnings to have, places to evolve. That doesn't mean that we're not already whole and complete as we are. When we don't believe that we're whole and complete, that's when all of the less than comes into play. So let's take a closer look at this for a moment. I want you to think about your current client relationship. So any of the clients you're currently working with, and if you're not currently working with clients, then you can just really look at any of your relationships in your life with friends or family members or colleagues. where are the places in your client relationships that you're making yourself less than? What are the specific judgments that you're making about yourself? And just take a minute here, and I want you to just jot down, think through your client relationships. If you don't have client relationships, other relationships in your life, where are you making yourself less than? Not good enough, not smart enough, not intuitive enough, not, you know, whatever it is, where are you not showing up with an equal playing field because you're making yourself less than? This recently happened to me, not in a coaching relationship, but I went to a conference a couple of weeks ago, and the room was filled with, this was only for just very successful, very high earning entrepreneurs. And I get this way with networking. That's where I go into my less than, and it's, you know, I have to really work to equalize the playing field. But I noticed that I was sitting in the room that I was making myself, in my mind, less successful than everybody else, like not good enough, not charismatic, you know, and I caught myself in that. But really for the better part of that first day of the conference, I didn't utilize any of the connections. I didn't make any connections because the playing field was not equal for me. Okay, so in the places that you're seeing that you're making yourself less than, pick one of them. How is that impacting the client relationship? Or if it's a relationship with someone else in your life, how is that impacting the relationship? Take a moment and identify that. So I want to just take a moment, whatever is coming up for you, just in case you might be judging yourself for it, hopefully you're not, but just in case, I really just want to normalize this. I have certainly done this before, and it comes up sometimes even now in my client relationships, every now and again if I'm not on top of it, right? So this is so natural and normal to do this. That's why I'm bringing it to your attention. And just the more that you can be aware of it, the more that you can really course correct. Okay. So as you can probably guess, the other piece to this is, in order to, you know, have an equal playing field, is my clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. I want you to write that down. Again, I know this is so basic, but it's like sometimes we can consciously forget this or unconsciously forget this, I should say. My clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. Right, so what does that mean? Well, it means that there's no need to fix your client in any way. And I can just tell you, because I've made this mistake the hard way when I started coaching, as soon as you go into trying to fix a client because you don't think that they're whole and complete, or you play into their belief that they're not whole and complete, it's a recipe for disaster. Of course, you may have suggestions and tools for your client, of course, but first things first, it's your job to give unconditional love, respect, acceptance to your clients, and also it's your job to see their intrinsic value, not when they finally reach their goal with your help, but to see their intrinsic value right now, right away. So let's just take a little bit of a closer look at this one for a moment. Take a moment and think about your current client relationship. And again, if you're not working with clients yet, you can look at any of your other relationships. Where are the places in your client relationships that you're making the client less than? That you're seeing them as like, this needs to be fixed or that needs to be fixed. When you're not fully accepting who they are, not fully seeing their intrinsic value. What are the judgments or the assumptions, the less than judgments and assumptions that you're making about your clients? Just take a moment, get as specific as you can here. Right, and again, this doesn't mean that your clients don't have challenges. Of course they do. That's why they've hired you. But there's a difference between a client having a challenge or a higher learning curve. There's a difference between that and a client being detrimentally flawed or not good enough, right? It's like an example of detrimentally flawed or not good enough would be he'll never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days. Or maybe you have this judgment, she's so committed to being a victim that she'll never take action towards her success, right? So where are the places where you're making your client less than? And then how is that impacting your relationship? What's happening in the relationship because of it? Take a moment to see if you can see any connections there. So one thing that I find to be helpful is to do reframes. So for example, for maybe the client that, you know, the original thought is he'll never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days, right? It's like this detrimental flaw. He'll never be able to. I can maybe reframe that assumption or belief a little bit into, I know that it's challenging for Jack to stick to a food plan, but he's asked for my support for a reason, and I really sense that with X tool and Y tool and encouragement, he'll be able to do it, right? Do you see the difference there? I know it's so basic and so simple. We all know this. Sometimes we forget to do this in our heads and we just go to the detrimentally flawed, right? Or, you know, for the example of she's so committed to being a victim that she'll never take actions towards her success, we could reframe that about our client to approach the field this way. Rita may have the tendency to fall into her victimized self, but she's incredibly smart and self-aware, and I know that she wants to change her habits. So take a moment and pick any of the, either when it was you were less than or the client is less than, you pick one and just play around with a reframe there for yourself just for fun. give you another moment to do that. Okay, we've got more to look at on this call, but I know that I've just been talking a lot about energetics and equalizing the playing field and being whole and complete. I'd love to hear from some of you, what is it that you're seeing for yourself so far that's really important here? What's coming forward? What are you noticing? What are you learning here that's important for you? It's star 2 if you want to raise your hand. I'm not sure who this is. It's an international number that ends 1155.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Ruth, and yeah, I'm really, really grateful for this, this topic, because as you were speaking, Joanna, I could just see myself with some of my clients, and I've worked with clients that I thought were like, you know, quite stuck in their ways, and I can see myself like not really seeing them for what they could be, because I had tried everything within my power to like help them to see what was possible, but they weren't really seeing it, and I think I kind of gave up in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so this is really, really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, and I love the way you just put that, seeing your clients for who they can be, right? It's you know, for myself, it's again, like I have to, every now and again, I really have to remind myself, have I bought into their, you know, what they think about it, or am I making assumptions? How can I really see my client in the biggest vision of who they are? Beautiful.
Yeah. But I have a question here. Like,
yeah.
What do you do, like, when you, like going through this process, when you reframe and you've tried that, you know, you have tried doing that and nothing's really shifted, how do you create that shift?
So when you say nothing's shifted, do you mean on your, in terms of how you're approaching the playing field, or in terms of the results that your clients are getting and how they're shifting?
Yeah, I think it is both ways.
Yeah, so in terms of, like, client results and how they see themselves, that's what we're going to spend the rest of the training
okay.
on.
All right. I'll be patient.
Right, but in terms of you approaching, you know, with an equal playing field, this is about, okay, we've done a reframe now, which is great. So that's a new idea, right, that you can start to lean into, that you can continue to come back to, that you can really remind yourself of. And just by doing that, like I said, energy follows energy. Even just by doing that, you will see some shift in your clients, even before we get to the tools and techniques. Again, because if you're showing up with that excited energy, or that energy of really seeing who they are, they necessarily are going to have to at least pick up a little bit on that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. It's very, very helpful.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Let's take a couple of other shares. Kelsey.
Hi. Am I unmuted? Can you hear me?
Yep. Can hear you.
Okay, great. My question was, or my comment was a little bit similar to the last caller, and I noticed with the reframe, I'm excited about what's coming next, because what happens for me over time, if I'm working on the same thing with someone over and over and over and over, like someone in particular I'm thinking about, they have so much anxiety that they overwork and they overgive and they don't have their boundaries with their work in a corporate setting. And just over time, I see it as possible for her, and I keep cheerleading for her, but in a way, I'm also, I give up a little bit. And what I noticed is that when I give up a little bit, like I actually don't really think she can change this, somewhere underneath I believe that, then I don't challenge her as much and I don't go as deep with the issue. I kind of back off a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that you're seeing this. This is so important, right? Because if you don't believe it, then you're not challenging her. You're not asking her to stretch, and then she's not going to, right? What
I
always say to myself is, like, the moment that I for real have stopped believing that a client can achieve what they, you know, what they've come to me for, if I can't shift that inside of me, I should not continue working with them. Because for the exact reason you're saying, right? So my sense is it's not really that, like, if you're thinking of someone in particular, but it's about you kind of reigniting the energy around the belief for them.
Yeah, because I actually do believe she can change, but then I get frustrated and just sort of like, whatever. If you don't care, I don't care, you know?
Yeah. Yes. So even that is such great self-awareness, right? Because you can, before a session or, you know, when you think about her in between sessions, you can even just do a little work for yourself on that. And you can say, like, even though I'm frustrated that Jackie, you know, hasn't moved forward in the last, however you want to say it, right, the last 2 months or hasn't been able to X, I know that she is so filled with passion with this and that, and she's probably just frustrated too right now, and here's how I want to show up for her, right? So even just taking that moment to kind of think about that and get clear on that, again, back to energetics, it will shift what's happening in there for you.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great suggestion. I had a quick question, too, about the seven dynamics. I love those, the mutual trust, respect. Do you ever put those down and show them and share them with your clients, like in an agreement type form or anything?
You know what? I don't, but I love that idea. I love it so much. Like, it could be in the contract or almost like an agreement between you and your client. Absolutely. Like, that could be very powerful. You know, depending on the practitioner and the client, for sure.
Right. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. So glad you brought that forward. Sophia.
Oh, hi. I actually wanted to ask you a question about, you know, the unequal power dynamics, because I realized that I actually have a lot of issues with this area, and what usually happens is I take a lot of over responsibility, so I constantly overgive, and it's because I'm afraid to kind of upset my client if I don't get them the result, but then like I worry that they won't succeed. And then I've also had situations with clients where it was really hard for me to tell them, like, reflect the truth back to them, because I know they will get angry at me, you know? And so actually, and then, so I don't know if the problem is due to, in this specific, it's actually in one specific situation, because this isn't the case in every, like, dynamic. It's just I had a specific situation with one client who, like had all these patterns, and I felt, like, totally overwhelmed. And we're not working together right now, but I'm wondering if that was a situation that was actually workable, or it was just a reflection of a lot of things that I needed to change, or maybe both.
Yeah, so, I mean, just with only knowing kind of the general pieces like that, there's a few things that you're saying that I can pull out that are important here to look at. So, number one, it definitely sounds to me, you can tell me if I'm getting this right, but it sounds to me like you have a pattern, or you have you tend to get scared that people are going to be angry at you. You have a fear.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah, and so, and we're going to actually take a look at that later on in the training, but it's great that it's coming up now. That's often connected to the over-responsibility piece. And so, one, you want to be really conscious of that. You know, when are my actions being dictated not by inner wisdom, but by my fear of this client getting angry at me? You know, if you can start to catch yourself in those moments, you may be able to reorient around that. That's number one. Number two, it might very well be that your client has the tendency to go into anger at you. I would call that a resistance. We'll get to that in resistance archetypes, but that might be the case. That you can learn tools, and I'll teach you tools and techniques to work with that client's anger so that it's not directed at you, but there's no way you can do it if you're scared of the client, right? So what I would say to you is just begin, like, to become more, in, not only with your client work, but in all of your life, you know, because if it's happening with clients, it's probably happening either in family dynamics or friendship dynamics or whatever it is. Where are you acting out of your fear of somebody getting angry at you? And really start to watch that. And then the other thing I just wanted to say, well, let me pause there for a moment. How does all of that land for you?
Oh, that's amazing. I think this is the most useful 2 minutes of the call for me so far.
Oh, good.
Like, literally amazing, because I do have this huge core fear of people getting angry, and it's not just in clients. It's like every single relationship is like that for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably my biggest fear in life. I don't know if I have very many other fears, actually, but that's the biggest fear. And like, it's very big for me.
Yeah. So, like I said, we'll follow up, but just so you can start journaling on this and really, you know, looking at this. And then the other thing I just wanted to point out is you may not have even noticed it, but I heard you say, I forget the entire sentence, but you said, get my client's results.
Yeah.
And I just really want to point that out, not just for you, but for everyone on the call. As soon as we go into the thinking that it's our job to get results from our clients, then we're out of that partnership that I was talking about before.
I felt really kind of like I feel almost like guilty, like if I'm not good enough. I always feel like a very strong kind of sense of need to perform high, and I've been like this my whole life, you know, starting from like really young to like now I'm in like my 20s now. But I think all of this is kind of like the thing things like I was trained to behave trained to behave and think as a child. And it's still coming up for me over and over again. But so I guess with, like, coaching, we can just do our best. And then it's up to the client whether they want to take action and do their best too, right? Like, we can't control the outcome.
We can't make our clients do anything. We can have certain tools.
Right.
We'll get to those, but no, we can't make them do anything. I'm so glad all of this is opening up for you. I can tell you'll have a lot to chew on today. Beautiful.
Right. So we should probably not take clients that expect us to be kind of the silver bullet, right?
Well, we should make them aware that we're not. We should, you know, it's not if they, you know, you can educate them about that for sure.
Mm.
Okay, good. Good. Anyone else have anything that they want to share? There's still a couple of other pieces I'm going to share today. Actually, I'm looking at the time. Let me move on to sharing the other pieces I want to share, and then we'll definitely open up for takeaways and Q&A at the end. Okay, so just a few more things before we wrap for today. I know it's been a long call, but I just want to talk about a few other pieces around equalizing the playing field, or I should say tools to help you equalize the playing field, right? So tool number one, I am whole and complete exactly as I am. Tool number two, my client is whole and complete. Here's the next tool to help you equalize the playing field. You aren't perfect, and neither is your client. I want you to write that down. I'm not perfect, and neither is my client. Again, so obvious, right? But sometimes, right, just unconsciously, because so many of us fall into myth of perfection, we'll get there, you know, we'll look at that in this training later on, but for now, I'll just say so many of us fall into myth of perfection, and we don't even realize it, and then all of a sudden, we've created unconsciously these expectations either of ourselves or our clients that are just not realistic at all. Or we've created expectations around the pace of the results and the transformation that needs to happen. This is a recipe for ruining the equalized playing field and the energetics of the relationship if we somehow forget and think that either we're perfect or our clients are perfect. So just take a moment and think about that one. Maybe you can even just jot down for yourself, like, where are the places where you've actually set unrealistic expectations, either for yourself or for a client, if you're not working with clients, for somebody in your life. I'll give you an example for me. Sometimes I forget that John, my husband, just isn't going to be able to, like, pick up on when I'm really needy in a moment, maybe, or like need him in a way. I just have, sometimes I fall into this unrealistic expectation that he should know, right? When I first started coaching, one of the expectations that I didn't even realize, right, that I had was that I was just going to give a client homework and they were going to do it no matter what, like consistently every day. They were going to do it perfectly. They were going to show up the next session and it was going to be done, right? So what are some of the unrealistic expectations that have entered the relationship with clients, either unrealistic of you or unrealistic of them? There was a certain point, you know, when I do business coaching and I help clients build their businesses, there's so many, right, like new business developments and marketing and whatever, and because I wasn't on top of this particular tool, I for a month or two, I fell into this trap of thinking that I needed to know everything about Facebook ads. You know, even though I'm not, that's not my zone of genius at all, you know. And I was trying to, like, keep up to help clients with that until I realized, like, oh, my gosh, this is an unrealistic expectation. This is not how I'm meant to serve. So, again, you aren't perfect and neither are your clients. Next tool that relates to the perfect one, again, completely obvious, but I think we lose touch with it sometimes. You don't need to have all of the answers. There's no way you can have all of the answers. Even if part of what you do is consulting, you don't... Even if it's within your field, even if it's within your expertise, you're not going to have all of the answers. If you set that expectation up for yourself, the energetics are going to get wonky really quick because you're not going to be able to live up to the expectation, and then you're going to approach the field as less than. So are there any client relationships right now where somehow consciously or not you've set up that you need to have all of the answers? Next one, next tool for equalizing the relationship, and Sophia just brought this one up. I'm not solely responsible for anyone's growth or results. This is a partnership. I am not solely responsible for anyone's growth or results. This is a partnership. You know, again, I'll tell you, even coaching for decades, being as seasoned as I am, every now and again I'll hit a doozy. I'll maybe play into a particular client's fear, you know, if I'm not on top of this, and I will temporarily think that I'm solely responsible. And that is not, that's never going to lead to client results. It's only going to lead to overworking on your part, to disempowering your client because you're taking the responsibility over for them, which they need to be empowered, and energy drain for sure. And then last tool for equalizing the playing field, again, very obvious. You don't need to be anything but yourself, and neither does your client. You don't need to be anything but yourself, and neither does your client. And again, I know this is an obvious one. Obviously, if we're coaches, we understand this. It's, you know, inner work 101. But sometimes, again, if we're not on top of it, we can lose touch with that. We think we need to be something else other than who we are. We need to have characteristics that aren't necessarily our strengths, or you show up with a certain kind of skill, right? We don't need to be anything other than who we are. And in fact, being exactly who we are and allowing our clients to be exactly who they are with full radical acceptance of who they are is what's going to create the strongest coaching relationship, which will in turn create the strongest coaching energetics and container, which will in turn create the best results for our clients. Okay, we've been through a lot today. First, I want you to take a moment and I want you to write down at least two or three big takeaways from this call. What are two or three of the most important things for you that you're seeing, either something that I said or something that I said spurred something for you? What are you taking away that's really important for you? Take another moment with that. Okay, so in a moment I'm going to open up. I want to hear your takeaways and any questions that you have. But before that, there'll be a homework sheet for you. In the member center, it's just an opportunity to go deeper with everything that we've looked at today. Again, I want to remind you about the Facebook group. If we're already connected, you'll just be added in. If not, we'll send you an invite to add yourself in. And please post there. I'll start a thread about takeaways from today. We'll hear some on the call, but I'd always love to hear more. And then also a reminder again about the coaching partners. You'll receive an email about that today or tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. And then when we meet next, we'll be at our regular Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Okay, all that being said, I'd love to hear some of your takeaways. They're just so great to speak for yourself out loud and articulate, as well as for others to hear. We all get ideas from it. And also any questions that you have. So star two, takeaways and questions. Erica.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I had raised my hand before with something, so right now I wasn't really prepared, but thank you so much for today. I've taken away so much. At first, I was really resonating with feeling like inadequate sometimes to the client, and also judging them and feeling like they're not going to succeed. So all of this information has really helped me.
Okay. I hear your babe in the background. I'll let you go. But.
Thank you so much.
Good. Good. All right. Who else? I'd love to hear from a few other people. Star two. And it's also helpful for me, so I can track you too. So star two, what are you taking for yourself, or what questions do you have for me? Anyone want to share before we wrap for today? Star two. All right. Well, I will trust that you are taking exactly what you need from... Oh, wait. We've got someone. I'm not sure who this is. Your name isn't coming up, but your last numbers are 8760.
Oh, that's me. Hi.
Hi, who is that?
My name is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Hi. Do you need my last name?
No, I know who you are.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wrote, in terms of takeaways, one thing that was really helpful to me is when you mentioned using the reframe. And the idea of doing that with clients, just to be aware of when I'm aware of how I'm seeing them, if it's not on an equal level, how to reframe it. That was something I've done in other areas. I do it with making statements, like if you're making an affirmation, to make a positive affirmation, like you want to change something, but it's not stated positively. And I think it's so helpful to state it positively. Like it just really resonated with me.
Yeah. I'm so glad to hear it. Yeah, and I'll share for me the reframe. It is about stating it positively, but even more than that, it's about opening up possibilities. Because before the reframe, it's like we've closed off possibilities for that client. They will never, they're, you know, whatever it is. But the reframe allows us to lean back into the opportunities and the possibilities for them.
Yes.
So glad you're bringing that forward.
And the other thing was I ended up writing the statements that you made. Like, for instance, I'm whole and complete exactly as I am. My clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. I was thinking that I might do it like a little meditation sometimes before I see someone, because I have a tendency to feel a lack of confidence, and just saying these things made me feel like it was a reminder to me of how things really are.
Yes. I love that. I love the idea of bringing that into a meditation and almost like preparing yourself in that way for your sessions and for your clients. It's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's great to hear your voice. All right. Well, it looks like we're complete for today. I hope that you enjoyed our time together. As I said, I'm going to post in our Facebook group. I'd love to hear more takeaways. I hope you enjoy the homework. If any questions come up, let me know. And I'm wishing you a wonderful week. So I'll talk to you. I'll see you next week. I'll see you next Wednesday. Have a great week. Bye.
The moderator has left.